Welcome to the iLEAP's Early Careers podcast, where we explore scientific research related to the biosphere and the atmosphere, and share the personal experiences of our early careers scientists as they navigate their way through academia. Our podcast today forms part of a series in which we learn more about the scientific research conducted by early career scientists, both in and from the region of Latin America. For today's podcast, we're talking to Dr. Andre Luis Diniz dos Santos, who has just completed a PhD on environmental modelling and is based in Curitiba in Brazil.
Hello.
Hi, Andre.
Hi, Gemma.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very fine.
Okay, great, cool. So cool, nice to meet you anyway. Well, on the over the podcast.
It's nice to meet you too.
So today we're going to talk to you a little bit about your career and maybe understand a bit about your background and what led you down this career path. So first, could you please tell us maybe a little bit about what has inspired you to become a scientist, please?
Okay, of course, Jim. No one in my family is or was a scientist. So at first, this idea didn't cross my mind. I thought about acting professionally as an environment engineering after my undergraduate. However, I learned a lot from my grandmother, a passionate teacher. So the will to pass on knowledge flows through my veins. That's why I decided to start the master's, with the idea of dedicating professionally to teaching. However, when I finished my master's degree, some scientific questions began to appear, and I decided to start my doctorate to go deeper into these questions. Thereby, I began to participate actively in the Federal University of Paraná Laboratory of Environmental Monitoring and Modeling Studies activities and interact more with natural research. In this way, scientific interest dawned on me.
Great, thanks, Andre. So could you maybe tell us a little bit about your journey so far then, and where have you studied and what jobs you might have had or experience that you might have had that have kind of led you to doing this PhD and this role that you are now?
Okay. As an environmental engineering undergraduate student, I did several internships working in sanitation and water resource, public and private companies. And then as a graduate student of the environment engineering program of the Federal University of Paraná, I worked with meteorological, micrometeorological, hydrological and air quality measurements and data. I installed performed maintenance, operated stations, processed data, and performed modeling in the Laboratory of Environmental Monitoring and Modeling Studies. I participated in a project for the development and application of numerical methods for the analysis of environmental problems, and at another project that studied methods for measuring greenhouse gases fluxes in a case study. In academia, besides my primary research, I worked with undergraduate and graduate students and postgraduates, professors and researchers on other projects, believing it is essential that interaction between research members from different study areas, academic levels and society exist with the most diversity, equity and inclusion as possible. In this way, I also participate in partnership projects between academic faculty members, developing low-cost sensors and softwares for continuous and automated environmental monitoring.
Okay, great. Thanks. That was really interesting. So can you maybe tell us a little bit more about your PhD research and why it's so important to study the type of interactions, biosphere-atmosphere interactions that you have?
Okay. In the doctoral studies, I implemented a dynamic growth modeling and improved the physiological vegetation processes in a soil vegetation atmosphere transfer model to predict surface fluxes and other variables, including soil temperature and moisture. The model was not a commercial version and was coded a significant part for me with its own specificities. Its results were compared with ecovariance data. So firstly, the proposed model was implemented with a model for calculating the CO2 flux that calculates stomatal conductance in a more physical, meteorological way. And secondly, another model for more physiologically was applied. The two versions were compared with sensible and latent heat ecovariance data in a crop plantation. and they had similar performances in estimating sensible and latent heat. However, different responses for CO2 flux were identified, with significant discrepancies at night. Thus, the importance of respiration process was explored. For this purpose, 6 formulations for leaf respiration calculation were evaluated. Then a model for biomass growth and allocation above and below ground was implemented, and the compartments respirations dependent or not on photosynthesis were calculated. Combinations between 3 models for active biomass respiration, 2 models for structural biomass respiration, and 1 model for soil respiration were tested. In these simulations, a dynamic calculation of plant development was imposed. In this way, plant growth was forecasted, and consequently, the Hoogness lengths for momentum, heat, and moisture. An entire crop from planting to harvest with dynamic feedback was compared to field observations. Structural and soil respiration formulations were more sensitive to temperature, while models for the active biomass respiration had different sensitivities to leaf temperature and root zone moisture, distinctly affecting CO2 flux, biomass growth, soil layers temperature, and moisture predictions. So, in SVAT modeling, soil process, vegetation development, and surface flux interact dynamically. Thus, models with CO2 flux patterning can better detail biological process with feedback interactions. And now, I am testing additional models for the heterotrophic soil respiration and building an automatic calibration code to identify the best possible configuration. After placing the best design, I intend to compare it with various plantation datasets available on Ameriflux and Fluxnet.
Cool. That sounds really cool. So still some work to do, a little bit of work to do then. Oh, a PhD is never done till it's done, right? It's always, there's always little things. I was just going to ask then, so during your journey as a PhD student, can you maybe explain some of the key challenges that you think you've faced along the way and how you might have overcome them?
I think the most challenge I am facing now. I want to pursue a scientific career as a biogeoscience scientist, working with mathematical and numerical modeling, meteorology, micrometeorology, hydrology, field measurements and data, sensors and projects for environment monitoring. However, as I took a long time to enter the scientific field, I don't have a strong record of publications in peer-reviewed journals. Furthermore, a few years ago, the lack of confidence in the English language made my publications in peer-reviewed renewed Brazilian journals to be in Portuguese. All of this has made it difficult for me to place it in an international postdoctoral position now, being this my biggest challenge so far. Trying to solve this, I have been working voluntarily in scientific partnerships to have more publications.
Yeah, that's really proactive, Andre. So obviously your role in Fluxnet as well must help you with, you know, kind of making connections and, you know, having the confidence to speak and write English. And so could you tell us a little bit more about your role in Fluxnet and how you've got involved with that community?
Since we started COVID-19, many conferences went virtual. So in the in 2019, I applied a submission to the Ameriflux annual meeting that went virtual. And in that meeting, I started a meeting with Ameriflux and Fluxnet scientists, and appeared opportunity to do this voluntary job in the Fluxnet early career section, and I volunteered for that, and I was so well received by the scientific committee members of the Fluxnet, and this is being so good for network and for English practice, and this is being so productive now for me.
Yeah, that's really cool, and that's really cool. So, let's maybe talk about some of the best moments then that you've had during your sort of journey so far, your career. What would you say they were?
It isn't easy to choose just one moment, and if that were the case, I would mention the moment of defending my doctoral dissertation. But it's impossible not to remember the moments in the classroom with dedicated professors who were a reference for me, introducing me to new words to explore. At this point, I especially thank Professors Mauricio Felga Gobbi and Nelson Luiz Dias, but on behalf of all the professors who were part of my trajectory. There are also conferences, field, and laboratory work with colleagues who became true friends for life after challenging but fun work days. And finally, due to the new normal, with the world turning more into virtual, I had great international experiences, always very well received by international scientific community members at Fluxnet, Ameriflux, LICES, also here in iLeaps and others.
Thanks. And yeah, it's nice to talk to you for iLeaps and as part of Fluxnet. So, so maybe if you had any advice, have you got any specific, well, let's do it two ways. Have you got any general advice that you'd give to early career scientists? And then maybe have you got any more specific advice that you would give to scientists, early career scientists, maybe in Latin America?
I think for a general that if early career scientists are looking for international research career, as I am doing now, despite the maxim that a scientist is much more than his publications, publish as soon as possible, preferably in English. And specific advice, I would suggest that what has opened some doors for me is my formation is strongly quantitative and technological. So I would advise early career scientists not to be afraid of math and physics and improve themselves technologically, especially in coding skills.
Yeah, cool. So what, which type of coding do you do, Andre? Which one?
When I am modeling, I use Fortran, but for processment, for data processment, I like to use Python, but but I have no problem using R language and also C++. And so, I think when you start coding, the only difference are the language type, but the idea is the numerical methods is the same for all languages. So this is coding is a thing that you need to do every day. So as much as you practice, as better it will be.
Yeah, that's really cool. So which one did you start with first, just out of interest?
I started in the undergraduate here in Federal University of Paraná. I had some disciplines that teach Python, and also I have older language like Pascal. But when I started my scientific research, then I started to do coding more with Fortran. But Python is so easy and practical to do data processment and most things it's good to do in Python. It's a easy coding to starting.
Cool, thanks, Andre. It's been really cool to chat to you today, and yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you in the community then and doing other things, and we'll keep an eye out on are you on Twitter, by the way? Are you on Twitter?
Yes. I wasn't on Twitter, but now that I am on Fluxnet early here, I saw that many scientists are in Twitter. So I enter on Twitter, and I am in Twitter no more than 1 year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. But it's been quite productive to receive message in real time and to be actualized. It's a very well.
Cool. Well, I'll see you on there then, and I'll hopefully maybe meet you like in person one day.
Yes, of course. I want to.
Cool. So thanks very much, Andre, and thanks for the iLeap podcast today.
Thank you very much, Gemma, for this invitation. It's an honor for me to be here today, speaking with you, talking with you.
Oh, same.
All the early career scientists that will be listening to this podcast.
Hey, thanks, but no, it's an honor to talk to you. So thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. And just to say, if you want to learn more about iLeaps, please go to our website, iLeaps.org, where you'll find a link to our early careers website, where you can follow us on Twitter at iLeaps_ECSN, or our Facebook page. Thanks.